Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
Welcome back, Silver and Black. Today, the home stretch here on our Tuesday edition, the off-season podcast. Yes, the AFC and NFC championship games. Crazy stuff. Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl out in Glendale, Arizona. We'll talk about that in the coming week. But right now, we're still focused on the Raiders, of course, and what the Raiders are going to do. So, on the show right now, you have co-GMs. You have Mo, Midtown Mo Moten there, and then you have Scott here. And we're going to give you our plans. How do you beat the Chiefs? The Chiefs, again, five straight AFC championship games at home, going to the Super Bowl again with a chance to win another trophy, which they would then equal the amount of trophies won by the Raiders, by the way, if the Chiefs win. So I know Raider fans are going to root really hard against them because it's the one thing they have over Chiefs fans still. But to unseat the Chiefs in the AFC West, the Raiders got to get a lot better. What are they going to do in order to do that? We know they need to get a quarterback. We know they need to do an offense. But we're going to give you some specifics. And, Mo, I want to start with you on the quarterback position. We've talked about Tom Brady. Now, I'll tell you, on Thursday's show, we're going to do a deep dive on Tom Brady again and talk about why I don't think he's actually going to come to Las Vegas. We'll talk about that on Thursday. But when you look at the quarterback position and what they're going to do here, clearly you have Jarrett Stidham sitting there if they re-sign him and keep him as a backup. So you need to get a starter in there, number one. And number two, you have to think about the future at quarterback as well. You can do the same if you get a guy you feel really great about and think you can start as a rookie, great. If not, you got to get a bridge quarterback we've talked about so many times on this show. Mo, let's start with this. What do you do? What's your approach as a GM? I know there's a lot of unknowns right now, but just based on what we know and the market out there, what's going on, what would you do starting with this team at quarterback heading into the draft and the free agent market?
Are you ready, Raider fans? Cover your
ears.
Sign Tom Brady. I know what you just said.
Okay.
I hear you.
I know you're already, by the way, you are getting a lot of heat on Twitter.
Yeah, I am.
From a lot of our listeners about that. Hey, you're the Brady. I'm like, oh my.
And it's so funny because I sat there and I watched the Tuck Rule and I don't blame, and I don't want to get off on a tangent on this, but I don't blame Brady for that. He didn't make the call. Like blame the referee. He benefited from the call, but it's not like Tom Brady put on a referee shirt and blew the whistle himself and called had the Tuck Rule in his favor.
And God rest his soul, Franco Harris. This is why Phil Villapiano and Franco Harris were good friends. Like it happened, they played it up, but they became very close friends. So Phil Villapiano, who lost the chance to go to the Super Bowl because of that play that hit the ground and he was clipped, the Immaculate Deception. Okay, he was friends with the guy that did the play, but yet fans will not be happy if Tom Brady is signing with the Raiders. It's very interesting.
I'm signing Tom Brady. Look, if I'm the GM of the Raiders and I'm going into year two after a 6-11 season, I got to win football games. And I don't think signing Jacoby Brissett or re-signing Jarrett Stidham is going to get me more than 6 wins. Tom Brady hasn't missed the playoffs since the year he sat out with a torn ACL in 2008. I was in college. I've been out of college for 15 years. Okay. That's how long it's been since Tom Brady has.
I've been out a lot longer than that.
So, I mean, if I want to win some football games and I want to bring some respect back to the Raiders organization and this team, I'm signing Tom Brady. But because I'm signing Tom Brady doesn't mean I'm not drafting a quarterback, because I've said this all along. Regardless of what the Raiders do at the quarterback position, unless it's, you know, bringing in Lamar Jackson, which is, I said, it's not going to happen. It's a pipe dream because he doesn't fit Josh McDaniels' system. Then you're drafting a quarterback just because you want to have quarterbacks in and out of the door. I would probably draft Tanner McKee out of Stanford in the second or third round if he's available, because people say, well, why are you doing that with Tom Brady? The Patriots also did it. Jimmy Garoppolo was a second round pick. Jacoby Brissett was a third round pick. Jarrett Stidham was a fourth round pick. Those guys were drafted during Tom Brady's time as a starter in New England. So it's not unheard of to have Tom Brady in your roster and still draft a quarterback. So, yes, I would sign Tom Brady, and I would still draft a quarterback in the second or third round. That's what I would do at quarterback. But go ahead, Scott.
There you go. So you're all in on Brady, and then you're getting a quarterback in rounds 2 through 4-ish, somewhere like that. Okay.
Correct.
So I'm going the opposite approach here, right? And I think bold times call for bold moves. Listen, some of you who say they should trade up to the number one pick, no. The Bears, by the way, would ask for so much, you would be hampering yourself in the other areas you need to help with your team, okay? So The only trade opportunity I see for the Raiders, if they really like one of the three quarterbacks, Stroud, Young, or Levis, is you can only target number three, the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals don't need a quarterback. Obviously, they have Kyler Murray. Behind them are two teams that do need a quarterback, and that is Indianapolis and Seattle. Even if Seattle, which I believe they're going to stay and stay with Geno Smith, re-sign him, which would be a smart move for them, and I still think that they're going to get a quarterback there as well, too. So that means the Raiders have one opportunity, and that is to trade up to them. I'm going on the assumption, if I'm Dave Ziegler in his shoes right now, they love one of those guys, okay? Whether it's Stroud, Young, whoever. And so what I'm going to do is I have draft capital from this year and next year, and I'm going to trade up to Arizona spot at number three, and I'm going to take C.J. Stroud. That's what I do, right? I take C.J. Stroud, and then I sign one of the other free agents, probably a guy. I know it's not going to make anybody excited. If you thought people didn't like Tom Brady, at least he wins. You sign Jacoby Brissett or somebody like that. I mean, there's Teddy Bridgewater. I think Brissett's better than Bridgewater, frankly. And there's Garoppolo, which gets hurt too much. So I think you go get that your prize piece for the next 10, 15 years or 12 years, whatever it is, at quarterback, and you trade up and you get him. Now, I know you say these guys are not generational talents. I think Stroud and Levis, although I think Levis, as much as people love him, would take a little longer to develop, they both can fit in that system of Josh McDaniels well. Could Bryce Young? Yes, but he'll be gone. So to me, I think that you go up and you get one of those guys. You set the face of your franchise for the next few years. Yes, you have to develop him. You have to make sure you're able to do that, and you got to get the guy to come in and move that offense, because that offense is going to do well. And by the way, if those young quarterbacks, one of that young quarterback that you take at three, if you can move up to three, if they come along and they start in their first year, great. And you got a veteran as a backup, and it's great to go. If he doesn't, then you give him a year or two to develop, like we saw with Jalen Hurts. We saw with Patrick Mahomes after a year. Joe Burrow was thrown into the fire and got injured. But out of those guys, he was able to do – those two guys were able to perform just fine if they were brought along well. And I think that's what the Raiders should do at quarterback. Thoughts?
I'm actually not opposed to that plan. That would actually – I think I mentioned this on a previous show, that would actually be my plan if the Raiders don't get a Tom Brady. Right. So let's say the Raiders – Tom Brady signed somewhere else, and the Raiders are left with Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, and Jarrett Stidham. Mm-hmm. I would definitely totally move up to go get a C.J. Stroud. He's the quarterback that I've targeted plenty of times. And then that's probably in the – you move into the Pittsburgh Steelers lane, where you have a veteran. They had Mitchell Trubisky, and then they drafted Kenny Pickett, who was later in the draft, by the way. But
yeah.
You go into the season, and you start your veteran. And until he flames out or gets hurt, or unless the rookie is ready to play from day one, then you have your rookie sit behind your veteran for a few games or several games, and then eventually you turn it over to your rookie, which in this case, in your scenario, would be CJ Stroud. That's a plan that I actually like if there's no Tom Brady.
Yeah, and I think talking about trading up, trading down, all that stuff sounds great. It's hard, though, because you never know what else is going on, right? You don't know what the asking price. The Cardinals, they have a new GM. That new GM knows that the spotlight's on them. It's their first draft. They have the number three pick. They might not want to trade out of there. They might want to just get their guy and get done with it. But you also have the Colts and the Seahawks. You say it's one spot or two spot. Yeah, they might want to trade up too. And then suddenly the Seattle Seahawks have more draft picks than the entire NFL. I swear to God, it's crazy. They have what, 14 or 15 draft picks this year? It's insane. Or 13, I think it is. I'm exaggerating. But it's a ton. So if I'm the Seahawks and I want to move up to number three, I can give you a bunch. So that's where the Raiders might be hampered there. But if the Raiders can get a deal where they give up their own number one at seven and then a two or a three next year or whatever the compensation is, then you got to do it. But that's all dependent on what happens there. So I agree. I just think, and we'll get into it next show, but I just don't think Brady's going to come to Las Vegas. I don't disagree with the strategy of trying to get him there. I just think when he looks at the situation, he's not going to go there. Okay, so there you have. That's one of the big positions, quarterback. Now we switch to the defensive side of the ball. So many needs on this team. We have needs up front. I'm actually going to start at linebacker, and a guy that I really think they should target, a guy I've liked for a long time, and that is Lavonte David. I like him at linebacker. And I start with linebacker because I know you're going to go in defensive line. There's so many options there. You've mentioned a couple on previous shows, and we'll get there. But it has been such a black hole for the Raiders for so long. And here's a guy who's got a lot left in the tank. I mean, look at his age. But he's a guy that I like the way he plays. And I think how I've understood and watched Patrick Graham's system this year, I think he fits nicely.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think he does too. I think the major worry you mentioned, his age, is he going on a sharp decline? Surely didn't show it this past season. If I'm going with the linebacker position, I want to solidify the middle of defense. I'd probably go with Tremaine Edmonds. If he hits the market, the Bills have to let him go for contractual reasons. I would take a look at Tremaine Edmonds because he's young. Tremaine Edmonds, because he's younger, a lot of people say, well, he played with a good defense. How good do we know? How good can he be if he's not within a good defense the Raiders don't have? So I would say you take a chance on a guy like that. He did go in the first round, so he obviously has the potential, so I wouldn't really doubt him too much, but he's a guy I would consider. The other position I think the Raiders should address in free agency without a doubt is the cornerback spot. And I'm going to look at the same team that Lavonte David played on this past season. That's Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Jamel Dean could hit the market. And if Jamel Dean hits the market, I'm signing him, because the Raiders have tried to fill the cornerback position. They just have not done well with it, whether it's due to trap or free agency. They've just struck out. I know Rocky Asin had a decent year, wasn't able to stay healthy down the stretch, but I think the Raiders need to spend at the position and draft a guy, because Nate Hobbs did regress under Patrick Graham. So you bring in a veteran, you bring in a rookie just in case that regression continues. But Jamel Dean is the guy I'm looking at. As far as a draft is concerned, Cam Smith, Clark Phillips III are two guys I'm looking at. Smith out of South Carolina, Clark Phillips out of Utah.
Nice. Yeah, and this is the thing, too, I want to say, because a lot of the Raiders fans that listen to us have said to me, especially since we're talking about defense, have said, we got to go out and sign some big free agents, and I'm fine. But you look at guys, and I know some of these guys, even though they're unrestricted free agents, they may end up staying with the team. You look at Philly's defensive line, right? I think three of those four guys, those starters, are free agents, correct? Including Hargrave, right? You look at him, he's making $20 million this year. They say his market value was 20. He's making 20.1 this year as well. His contract is 13. So he's due for a raise, right? So his value is up to $20 million. You're talking about paying $20 million for a defensive tackle. I don't know that you can put all the, I mean, you might be able to get one of those guys, but you have to prioritize, right, Mo? I think this is why the draft, and I agree with fans, you got to hit on the draft with some defensive players, especially in the line defensive backfield, because to me, the key prime free agents up front might be, even with the Raiders' cash situation, might be out of touch or out of reach, knowing that you have all those other contracts to deal with, and you just gave Max Crosby his deal. Chandler Jones, you got to pay at least one more year. How do you see that defensive front and what they're going to be able to do there on the free agent market? Are you like me thinking that they're going to have to probably fill most of it through the draft?
I think they're going to have to go to the draft to fill their defensive tackle needs simply because they've already paid Bilal Nichols a lot. Unless they try to move or cut Bilal Nichols, they're probably going to have to do it through the draft because I don't see Dave Ziegler spending, you know, $15 to $20 million on a defensive tackle at the free agent market. I like Javon Hargrave. I think he would be great for the Raiders. But if the Raiders do go for defensive tackle free agency, it could probably be a guy like Larry Ogunjobi, who I've been calling for, I think, the previous year. He signed with the Steelers instead. But he's a guy I would look for because he wouldn't cost as much as a Hargrave. Hargrave would probably be a dream scenario, and so would Daron Payne. Daron Payne is probably going to get tagged by the Commanders. So I don't even think he hits the market. But those two guys would be great to help the Raiders' defense. The problem is, you can only spend but so much money. So if they get a veteran quarterback, if they get a Tom Brady, if they go get a cornerback, if they sign a top linebacker, then that means the other positions of need they're going to have to address due to draft. I think defensive tackle being a non-premium position, they aren't going to want to pay top dollar for that. They'll go through the draft.
Yeah, no question. All right, let's talk now quickly. And we're just doing this, you know, we're doing this off the cuff, so to speak. But you look at defensive backfield. We talked about Jesse Bates from Cincinnati at safety. There's a couple other safeties, a couple of cornerbacks. I think this is going to be where they're going to have to go get a veteran at one of those spots, but also supplement that with young players. They tried to do that in the last, 3 years, actually, if you look at some of the signings they've done. But this one, you have to shore it up pretty quickly, especially being in the AFC West. Kellen Moore now is the play caller in Los Angeles for the Chargers. What do you see there, Mo, that you like a defensive back as far as free agents go?
I've been calling out for Jesse Bates. I understand he's probably going to cost a lot, though, because he's probably arguably the best safety that's going to hit the market. He's been wanting a lucrative multi-year deal from the Bengals for a couple of years now. They have resisted doing that.
Yep.
So if the Raiders are going to spend big on a non-premium position, I think Jesse Bates can change the back end of that defense because the Raiders need to force turnovers. They haven't been able to do that with any consistency in recent years. I believe they were last interceptions this past season. So get a guy who's going to force turnovers, and Jesse Bates can do that.
Yeah, and he said in the Cincinnati papers that he wasn't going to play for less than $10 million. So there you go. You got some price there. and I get it. He's been waiting. He's been tagged. And so he now wants his money, and I get it. So we'll see. And I think it would be money well invested there for him. Now we go to the offensive side of the ball. I mean, listen. Right tackle. There's some good tackles. I mean, I know a lot of the mock drafts have the Raiders taking a tackle high at that number 7 position. If they were to sign Tom Brady, I can see that happening. If they don't sign Tom Brady, they go quarterback. Let's just go into that assumption. We'll get both options from you. If they don't sign Brady, go quarterback. What is there anyone on the free agent market that intrigues you that would be available for the Raiders on that right side?
I would say probably Kelvin Beachum. Kelvin Beachum is a name that I like. Isaiah Wynn, a lot of people are going to bring up that name because he's familiar with Josh McDaniels and that staff. But he's injury prone. And if you're going to sign him, you're probably going to draft a tackle anyway because you're not counting on him to play a full season. Beachum has been more consistent. Beachum hasn't been hurt as much as Isaiah Wynn. Beachum is not a big name, so you're probably not going to have to pay top dollar for him. I think that will be a good option for the Raiders if they're looking to fill or upgrade over Jermaine Illuminar. George Fant, who played with the Jets the past couple of years, is also a decent pickup. Although he was hurt last year, he's a decent alternative that you're not going to have to pay a whole lot of money to.
Yeah, I think he's getting about $2 or $3 million, right, or $3 million from the Jets. But you look at Beachum and Reisner, right? Reisner's another guy that's out there as well. Yeah, he's a guard. He plays right side though, does he not?
I think he plays on the left side.
Okay, there you go. So, hello, wake up. you look at that, and the rest of the market, you know, not exactly, I think, hot. I mean, you look at, we talked about McGlinchey and the fact that he's kind of fallen off a lot. You have Orlando Brown, but I think he's going to stay in the fold with the Chiefs or go to a team that'll give him the money. Young guy, 27 years old, right? So he's a guy who can be there for years to come, but I don't know that the Raiders are going to spend that kind of money, especially with the talent you're going to find in the draft.
And remember, he wants to play left tackle.
Yeah, he wants to switch over.
So you would have, he wants to, because that's the reason he left Baltimore. Yeah. He was a right tackle at Baltimore. He signed with the Chiefs to play left tackle, and that's what the Chiefs needed after Patrick Mahomes got pummeled in that Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So remember, they rebuilt their offensive line over one offseason, and Orlando Brown was one of the moves they made to acquire him. So he wants to stay at left tackle like his dad played, and I think if the Raiders want to consider him, that means they would have to move Colton Miller to the right side.
Yeah, that's a risky proposition with the way Colton Miller is. And like you said on a previous show, we've had guests on who talked about how it's like trying to write with your left hand when you're right-handed and vice versa, switching over. It's just a whole different game, and you don't want to do that. And that's where the Raiders got in trouble under Gruden, right, which is the drafting guys and trying to play them in positions that they hadn't played before and only played briefly, and it just hasn't worked out. So I don't support that unless something happens and you're not going to have confidence in Colton Miller, which wouldn't make sense anyway. When you look, Mo, at – go ahead. You had something else.
And I know we're not getting into draft guys at right tackle, but if the Raiders do sign Tom Brady, I would do exactly what the Buccaneers did. Get a right tackle as one of your top draft picks. They got Tristan Wirfs in the first round, and that offseason they acquired Tom Brady. The Raiders, if they sign a Tom Brady, go get Darnell Wright out of Tennessee. To me, he's the guy to look out for. I think he's the top right tackle in this draft class.
He is. Absolutely. I know a couple of the mocks that I saw had him going there as well. Mo, before we cut out of here, anything else when you look at what the Raiders need to do this season to start to look at unseating the Chiefs? What is there another player out there that you think is a must, or I shouldn't say a must go get, but a must want for this Raiders team that could make a huge difference, presumably on defense?
Good edge rushers usually don't hit the market, so it's hard to find an edge rusher at the top of his game. As you saw with Chandler Jones, big name, but he's on the downside. I think when it comes down to it, the Raiders are going to have to do it through the draft this year, simply because that's if they sign a Tom Brady. If they sign a Tom Brady, they're going to have to do a lot during the draft because that's money spent on a quarterback. If they don't sign Tom Brady, then you can start thinking about overspending possibly for guys like, I don't want to say overspend, but spending big for guys like Javon Hargrave or Daron Payne if they hit the market. If one of those two guys somehow wind up on the market, the Raiders need to get one of them because that will help Max Crosby and Chandler Jones on the outside.
Yeah, and not only that, but it goes back to what we talked about in segment two about quarterback or defense. And that is, if one is a little behind the other, then the other one's got to be better, right? So if you go with a rookie quarterback and you're going to have you have a bridge quarterback, you got to build that defense and compensate for what you might lack on the offensive side until you can develop it. So that's a great point about the draft, and I think this is where we'll know if Dave Ziegler, at least from the get go, can put this together and address the needs. I mean, we don't know if the players will work out. It'll take time to see that. But if he addresses the need and you see the draft, you say, okay, they've addressed all of these key positions that they've had and they supplemented it with free agent signings, then you can feel good about that and saying, okay, this is headed in the right direction, which I know is what Raider Nation wants. It's all they want is to see that things are going in a positive direction. So we'll see. All right, Mo. Well, we're going to cut out of here for this Tuesday. We'll be back on Thursday. We're going to talk some more about Tom Brady, quarterback, and all that stuff on that show, as well as the latest Raiders news and updates. And we're also going to get to your mail, so let's do that as well. Man, it goes by so quickly.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes not so much.
Sometimes Scott just drones on, and I want to get out of here. Yeah, I got you. I got you. Okay, cool. Anyway, we will talk to you on Thursday, my friend. Make sure you check out Mo's work up on Bleacher Report and SportsNot.com. You also need to follow him on Twitter at MOEMOTON. Also, do not forget, the reason he is now called Midtown Mo is because he's doing the Bleacher Report live shows where you can go talk to him and you can check that out. Download the Bleacher Report app and you can look for him on there and do it. Or if you're on the website, you'll find the video as well. He's, you know, Scott. Same. Were you wearing the same hat when you did it today?
Actually, no. I had the clean fade.
That's right. You don't have hats on.
I had the clean fade. I had the professional look going.
I get the gym rat Mo. They get the professional Mo.
You get the hood version of Mo. They get the professional 9-to-5.
Midtown Mo. Midtown Mo.
We're gonna come into the studio with a suit on.
If any of our listeners out there make music, I don't care if it's as a hobby. I don't care if it's hip hop, if it's rock, whatever it is. Please do a Midtown Mo show or song. Excuse me. The theme song. Yes, we need a Midtown Mo theme song. So I'm putting the challenge out there. We will play it on the show. We will have a Midtown Mo segment every show so everybody will hear your song. We'll give you plugs. All right, my man. I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Absolutely.
All right. We guys appreciate you being here with us. Do us a favor. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Also, when you're up there, hit the auto download. And by the way, up on iTunes, go give us a 5-star rating if you would. We would appreciate that. We appreciate you guys and all of your support and look forward to talking to you next time. For Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbranson. And for our producer, David Stepanian, have a great rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Thursday, Raider Nation. Bye-bye now.